And welcome back, folks, to Truth Versus News. I'm Donald Grinder, producer of JD.Consultants at live.com. And also, you can find me at Facebook. There's you there. And on Bradion, I can't put up any more channels, any more shows on Bradion because there hasn't been enough visuals. So if you go to Bradion and click on some shows, you get my volume up, then I can put more shows on. I'm also a bit shoot. So there's,
you haven't had enough hits.
I haven't had enough hits, no. I said that's,
well, it's because of lack of publicity. We haven't known where they were. So.
But anyway, so resuming the show here, so you think that, that this didn't really happen, that 50 people are not really dead, that and how about in the hospitals?
Don, we are moving to the other stories of the day. We could spend the whole show on this, but we could not.
Okay.
Here we have former U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney attacking the Trump administration's isolationist foreign policy, lecturing Mike Pence and living up to his example of one of the primary architects of Middle Eastern destabilization. We are getting into a situation where our friends and allies around the world that we depend upon are going to lack confidence in us, Cheney warned, seemingly unaware of the irony dripping from his words. I worry that the bottom line of that kind of an approach is we have an administration that looks a lot more like Barack Obama than Ronald Reagan, he added, perhaps forgetting Obama's foreign policy largely consisted of continuing the wars that began under Cheney's own watch, with a few more thrown in for good measure. Even the hire of an actual Reagan relic to run the administration's Venezuelan regime change and forced democracy to Spencer Elliott Abrams, last seen threatening U.S. allies with secondary sanctions for refusing to back the self-proclaimed President Juan Guaido, did not soothe the former VP's ire. Cheney blindsided Pence with his concerns during a private American Enterprise Institute retreat at Sea Island, Georgia, attended by about 150 Republicans, movers, and shakers, as fitting a locale as any to be lambasted by one of the era's great supervillains. While discussion participants had agreed to keep their words off the record, some thoughtful attendee leaked a transcript to the Washington Post, and I'm astonished they actually published it. Meanwhile, we have a grand jury for 9/11 in the Southern District of New York that is supposed to be taking names about the use of explosives on 9/11, which, if it should come to pass, is going to be a remarkable development. But look at the images in the background there. You can see these buildings did not collapse. They were blown apart in every direction from the top down and converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust. It appears to have been done using nuclear devices. Take a look there at that image, indicative of them having been located in the sub-basement in some instances. Gordon Duff did a good thing here by contributing a series of publications in Veterans Today that was very powerful in establishing the use of nukes, also talking about who was responsible, including, notice there, the very Dick Cheney we're talking about, and a guy named Bout, who appears to have been responsible for getting the nukes to Israel and then to be refurbished and brought back. Meanwhile, Joe Olson, who's a civil and structural engineer, very smart guy, has published a piece. This actually I took from our 9/11 memorandum series with Robert David Steele. But once again, look at that image. What kind of force would have required to produce that outcome, that effect? Scott has been emphasizing the role of laws of cause and effect in relation to the shooting in New Zealand. Well, this is about the laws of causal and effect in the destruction of buildings. This is an effect that required a massive cause. Meanwhile, I'm going to have a debate over the use of nukes with a fellow named Steve Dack. I like Steve personally, but he tends to fall into the hollow tower theory that the buildings were basically empty and ready to fall down. It's nonsense. We're going to have our debate on April 2nd, 2019, from 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern time, at revisionmedia.org. It's called The Rumble Over the Rubble. I invite you to tune in. We'll see what happens. Meanwhile, of course, anyone who wants to check the fact of the matter, here I have 15 experts contributing to the book, American Nuked on 9/11. compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the DOD, and the Mossad. Scott.
You know, Jim, I remember giving briefings at every place I was at in the military and State Department and places I don't talk about. But whenever I would give briefings, you know, the training was always, you have to give briefings with a punch in the face, making everybody feel like you're about to kick them in the ass if they weren't paying attention and weren't writing down or giving their full attention to what you're briefing them about. So there's an ass kicker dimension to giving briefings, to giving intelligence, to giving explanations, to giving stories, to giving all of what we've been giving and you've been giving about 9/11 and all of this. And the problem has been very few of us have given the ass kicker briefings. Most people have given this soft, effeminate, mumbly, bumbly sort of apologetic explanation. And I'm not about any of that. I'm about going right in and tearing the guts out of things like a pit bull chewing on a rubber tire until it breaks the tree down. And 9/11 is the greatest false flag attack. It's every scientific dimension of 9/11, the dust, the chalk clouds that came out from the buildings, that proves this was not a standard demolition. That proves a standard demolition was not caused by airplanes crashing into the top part of the building and causing a pancake effect. It's obvious. It's science. But few of us have got the emotional grit in the outrage to express that through our tonality and our communication to people, and we don't get attention. We don't cause fear. The left does. The left does this masterfully because they're so full of hate and anger and resentment already. It's a natural offshoot of their demonism, and they fall into emotional hysterics if you don't bow down. That's why you see the Antifa lunatics and pounding on the door of Kavanaugh and burning cars, because you're not submitting to their outrage. Well, there comes a time where outrage is fought with outrage. Fire is blown up by dynamite. And we're going into a period where all of these false flags are compounding. And I said it yesterday, we're at our saturation point. We are not absorbing any more of this false flag crap. We're so saturated with it, it's rolling off of us. And it's also in the process outraging us, infuriating us, energizing us, and driving us forward on attack mode. So, you know, it's a very healthy thing to be aggressive, to be angry, to be manly about punching these things with a sledgehammer effect. That's what true battle of ideas are all about. It doesn't mean behaving in an un-Christian way or an undiplomatic way or any sort of a savage barbarian way. It means you're standing up and speaking truth and destroying those who speak lies. You're either on the side of truth or you're on the side of covering up the truth. And that is on the side of lies. So we're hitting a point in our consciousness, I think around the world, where all of these things are separating those of us who are not afraid to speak the truth and not afraid to go where the truth tells us. And I think we're going in a direction where all of America's allies and all of America's identity, political, individual, are all being reorganized and shuffled. Iran, Russia, Syria, Europe, all of the things that have been happening around the world are going through a major polar shift politically. And we're seeing the Dick Cheney sodomite child molesters and all of these other people being exposed for what they are. And I'm looking forward to the day when Cheney's going to be dragged through the streets like Mussolini, tarred and feathered, hung by the highest tree, and everyone else who had a part in this 9/11 juggernaut, which has caused misery and ruin and destruction to the rest of the world. The only way that America as a nation is not dragged through the street and destroyed if we rise up and expose and destroy those who did this, because our honor has been stained. No other country's has. Our honor has been stained, and it's our duty to destroy those who are responsible for this. No other nation. We take care of our own. Go ahead.
Michael J.
Thank you. There's reasons and justification for our feelings to rise to this level of indignation? Why Dick Cheney has not been arrested, indicted, prosecuted, convicted, and awaiting execution is also a form of psychological terror, because it shows the American people that understand his involvement with the military, with the Mossad, with the Bushes and the Clintons and the other deep state creatures that facilitated taking off cover from away from New York and Washington, taking top cover away so that we didn't have any aircraft because they were on an exercise, and all of a sudden the exercise went live. The reality is that what we're looking at is treason at a level that was itself an act of terror that wounded the soul, the heart of the American people, and that this creature, this monster, Dick Cheney and the rest of them, including Dick Myers and Rumsfeld and the rest of them, that understood this and that they went forward, you know, including the process that happened afterwards that included Colin Powell and the lies about yellow cake. All of this was to conveniently facilitate the Seven Nations in 5 Years Greater Israel plan, because we are invested at the highest and the deepest levels of people running the show, the financing, the military. We are invested in the globalist New World Order program. And the American people realize that because these monsters have not been arrested, because they're allowed to continue to make their commentary, that something terrible is wrong. And many of us are realizing we're not going to be complicit Stockholm syndrome victims. We're going to tell the truth. We're going to encourage people. We're going to, you know, encourage them to get firearms training, do what's necessary, because if they had been able to facilitate disarming America in the past, JTELM 2015 would have gone live. It wouldn't have been just an exercise. And we would have been in the FEMA camps already. So I'm realizing that the American people understood why, because when Barack Obama said things like, I'm not going to take away your firearms, tens and hundreds of thousands of Americans went out and bought more ammunition and firearms. The American people are waking up, and we're not going to put this giant that's being having its indignation fueled by the truth is not going to go back to sleep again. Jim?
Can I just say that you're talking about Mike Pence and Cheney. I understand Mike Pence has admiration for Cheney. And with a guy like that in the main office as vice president, oh, hell. Mm.
Well, yeah, both of them are implicated in pedophilia also.
Terrible, terrible.
Serious stuff. Meanwhile, we have the final countdown. U.S. diplomats given 72 hours to get out of Venezuela. This was directed by the Venezuelans, U.S. diplomats to leave. Of course, our diplomats there are basically state agent spies. That's what we're doing there. They have systematically lied to the world regarding Venezuela reality. Let's get them out of there. I stand with Miro. I stand with Venezuela. Meanwhile, the Venezuelan prosecutors may indict Guaido on electric grid terrorism charges. This would be a very, very welcome development, along with reports about the resumption of electricity supply across the country from Venezuela. This was on the 13th. The reports the authorities of the Bolivian Republic have plans to stop the potentially illegal and anti-state activities of the self-declared opposition leader, the president. Self-proclaimed President Juan Guaido, very, very good. Venezuelan Attorney General Tarek William Saab has revealed this morning that Guaido is under investigation on charges of sabotaging the national grid. Paralyzed hospitals and ambulance stations, lack of water and food, idle transport lead to death and misfortune, said Guaido, adding that he calls on all Venezuelans to once again organize a mass protest throughout the country, demanding early free elections and removal of Maduro from government, remember, as I've reported before, Jimmy Carter was there. He said they were fair and objective. He described them as the best in the world. Maduro was reelected to his second term with a 60% of the vote to his closest competitor, only 20. This guy didn't get a single vote. He's never run for president. The whole situation is absurd as it gets. Meanwhile, the Maduro failure to nab Guaido will sap the Venezuela army's morale. Now, this is from Paul Craig Roberts, who's a very discerning guy. I regard him as our nation's leading public intellectual. He's saying that Maduro should take action against Guaido, lest the military become disillusioned. What the U.S. is banking on in Venezuela is that stress and strain will break the Venezuelan military. So far, it has stood with the elected government in Venezuela, and I think most likely members of the Venezuelan military understand that if the American coup succeeds, then the whole country will be back into poverty and will be plundered again as it has been in the past. So they have an incentive to stand with the elected government. Whatever Maduro's failures, they are very small compared to what will happen to Venezuela when it is back in America's clutches. The former U.S. Assistant Secretary of the Treasury under President Ronald Reagan and current chairman of the Institute for Political Economy has reported. He added, Maduro's failure to arrest this man and all of his supporters and put him on trial, however, will contribute to the military losing confidence in him and his government. Meanwhile, we have a tribunal declaring Trump and Duterte of the Philippines guilty of crimes against humanity. This is a significant development. Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte and his government committed war crimes and crimes against humanity, aided and abetted by U.S. President Donald Trump and his administration, according to a recent ruling from the International People's Tribunal on the Philippines. The tribunal, which was held in Brussels on April 18th and 19th of 2018, rendered its 84-page decision on March 8th. Conveners of the tribunal included the International Association of Democratic Lawyers, European Association of Lawyers for Democracy and World Human Rights, Haldane Society of Socialist Lawyers, IBNON International, International Coalition for Human Rights in the Philippines. A panel of 8 jurors from Egypt, France, Italy, Malaysia, the Netherlands, and the United States heard testimony from 31 witnesses, including the author of this piece. The jurors ordered the defendants to make reparations, to provide compensation or indemnification, restitution, and rehabilitation, and to be subjected to possible prosecution and sanctions for their crimes. Although the tribunal does not have the power to enforce those measures, alas, its findings of fact and conclusions of law could be used to bolster the preliminary examination of crimes by the Duterte regime currently pending in the International Criminal Court. Scott.
Oh, well, of course, they also should have had it in the International Criminal Court, the accusations of George W. Bush and Obama hijacking all of the Filipinos that Halliburton took over to Iraq and used them as pigeons for the enemy combatants to shoot and blow up. This accusation against Trump and Duterte and all that stuff, I'm skeptical just on the sources that's trying to prosecute this, because it may not be for human rights, it may be for political advantage. But that being said, Trump is certainly in danger of risking a complete collapse of his foreign policy. I mean, domestic policy, I'm all in favor of tax cuts for all of the American people, restraining of government, outlawing certain sexual perversions, LGBTQRS in the military and the school systems, abortion, pulling the late term abortion, the infanticide, all of the domestic policy he's got right, and building the wall along the southern border he's got right. But the foreign policy is his affliction, because all of the people who are running his foreign policy are afflicting him and damaging him and hurting him, because no one likes any of these people. No one likes Bolton, Elliot Abrams, Mike Pompeo, and they've got good reason to. So when Paul Craig Roberts and others are identifying this, Trump would be wise to get back onto what got me elected. The American people saying we want to get out of these foreign regime change, disrupt the world at all costs, and steal their energy and make it look like human rights. We don't want any part of that. And his deviation could very much come back to haunt him from all of these things as background noise. Remember, the Democrats are going to do everything they can to impeach him, but of course that would work against them. But Venezuela is not a winning card. One of the reports that came out to me, though, was Venezuela's blackout. Many are attributing to the Cuban G2, which is a Cuban CIA equivalent. So it may be that the Cuban G2 has been launching cyber attacks and against Venezuela. Venezuela has been instructed to blame the United States in order to generate a psychological environment conducive to trying to push back and remove the U.S. From this regime change operation. So that's a very real possibility. And the Cubans have also been blamed for sending migrants up into Mexico to invade the United States. So Cuba, and it's they also have reports of Cuban doctors going in Venezuela to persuade, you know, old people and sick people about a lot of this political stuff. So the unfortunate part is average Americans don't see and hear a lot of this, and Trump needs to expose it, as he needs to expose everything this deep state has been doing. Every Department of Justice, FBI transcript needs to be completely exposed, because that will give him the popular support to defend against these attacks, Jim.
I would think that Cuba would feel great solidarity with Maduro, as it would have with Hugo Chavez, because like Fidel Castro, they are nationalist leaders who want to use the resources of their countries to benefit their own people. And therefore would be in common anti-American imperialism. The world has to understand that's a real meaningful concept, the exploitation of other countries for the benefit of your own when you're a powerful nation like the United States. Michael J.
Thank you. We Scott and I had Chris Street on our program over in Revolution Radio, and he explained that the kinds of technologies right now used to pull the oil out of the ground in Venezuela are not very sophisticated. And the major oil companies in the world do not have refineries there because they are run by the United States. And the fact is that when oil was made less expensive because of other circumstances, this brought a depression into Venezuela. And this depression it has to include a power grab, because people that lose their jobs, that is, there are many industries that were surrounding the jobs that were able to be sustained by a more powerful, a more profitable oil, an oil industry there, have fallen through. So what we're looking at, though, is that the Venezuelan people understood that this was their country, because they saw America abusing Chavez over many years, and there's a good chance that Chavez was actually targeted with a technology that gave him cancer and took him out.
No doubt.
So the reality, though, is the Venezuelan people, I believe, are right now coalescing into a group of people that understand that Donald Trump isn't even keeping his own promises to Americans. Okay, Donald Trump said there will be no more regime change. Donald Trump has now shown us with his supporting certain people, a number of people in the government like Kavanaugh, like Barr, and like Guaido. Guaido, all of these three were trained in Georgetown University by the Jesuits. And Donald Trump has a Jesuit education. So the situation here is that the American people are watching, and the Venezuelan people are watching, the Chinese and the Russians are watching, because they see that Donald Trump is actually slipping away from what he promised the American people that he wanted to do. And the reality is, if we wanted to vote in the Congress, in the Senate, to send money instead of USAID packages that would include also armaments for, you know, revolution. If we wanted to just send money to the Venezuelan people so they could buy their own food, we could do that. And why not? I mean, if we really cared about the Venezuelan people. Jim?
Well said.
Great. Very good.
We have a condemnation of Israel versus anti-Semitism. The remarks by Ilhan Omar appear to be critical of Israel. However, the Democratic congresswoman has faced a massive backlash. Here I was explaining why she's 100% correct and why, you know, this is terribly important to have this conversation about Israel's domination of the United States. I suspect that Press TV regards Scott and me now as somehow missing the big picture because they're not convinced what we're telling them is the case. This story with me didn't go up initially. It took them days, and I think they prepared it just for me because when they finally sent me the link, it had like one read, one comment, when it ought to have had hundreds. So I'm very distraught that Press TV itself may have been taken over by forces that are not open to the truth, that have been played themselves, very much as you're describing in other contexts here. Meanwhile, Lindsey Graham giving up the Golan Heights would be a strategic nightmare for Israel. There's Lindsey on the wrong side of the issue, wrong side of the fence. Erdogan, Netanyahu is a tyrant who kills children. This is remarkable, a lot of truth coming from the president of Turkey. Meanwhile, U.S. airstrikes wipe out an Afghan army post, killing six. This is so irresponsible on the part of the United States. It's a complete disgrace. We know better. We must do better. Pentagon says the attack was self-defense, that Afghan soldiers attacked the convoy. That sounds like complete nonsense, total rubbish to me. Meanwhile, Bolton warns North Korea of more sanctions if it doesn't denuclearize. This is now the old-style American diplomacy, the big stick, beating, 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 threats, threats, threats. It's outrageous, completely outrageous. CIA may even be behind a February attack on the North Korean embassy in Spain. The CIA had its hand in a raid on the North Korean embassy in Spain, local media reports citing investigation sources. If confirmed, the development may lead to a major spat between Spain and the U.S. At least two of the 10 perpetrators who broke into the embassy have been identified and are connected with the CIA. While the U.S. spies have already denied their involvement, they were quite unconvincing, government sources reported. If the CIA's role in the whole affair is confirmed, it may lead to a major diplomatic spat between Madrid and Washington. Not exactly what one expects of an ally. Involvement of common criminals in the incident was ruled out shortly after it happened, as it appeared to be a hit job by a military cell. The incident, the movie-like incident occurred on Feb 22nd when a group of men attacked the North Korea's mission to Spain located in Madrid. They restrained and gagged the staff, then rummaged through the embassy for some 4 hours, stealing computers and other electronic devices. One of the employees managed to escape and alerted their neighbors who called the police. When law enforcement arrived, however, they were greeted by an individual who reassured them everything was fine in the diplomatic facility. Shortly afterward, the suspects drove out in two stolen vehicles and got away, leaving their cars in the street. Pretty fascinating story. Police then discovered that the mission staff, bound, gagged, had bags on their head. Several diplomats required medical attention after the incident. The perpetrators may have been looking for information on the former ambassador of North Korea to Spain, Kim Hook Choi. The diplomat served the facility for years, yet was expelled back in 2017 amid consecutive nuclear tasks held by Pyongyang. He later joined the country's negotiating team and participated in organizing the Trump-Kim summit in Vietnam, which failed just 5 days after the Madrid incident. Interesting stuff. Scott, your take on this?
Well, you know, Press TV, I agree with you, Jim. There's some weird phenomenon that's gone on there since Marzia Hashimi was abducted, since they've used the Marzia Hashimi abduction. Marzia Hashimi is essentially the Barbara Walters of Iranian TV, before she was abducted and interrogated and tortured for a week. And I know how that goes. I know what they do to them, but she was changed. And then out of her interrogation, she gives them answers that they then use to leverage into assigning sanctions from the U.S. Treasury Department against the New Horizons Conference that sponsored our conference over to Iran to talk about a lot of issues of building relationships and prosperity and peace, sanctioning New Horizons, sanctioning Nader Talebzadeh and his wife Zenya and Hamid Ghashghabi for this conference, using the justification of Marzia Hashimi's interrogation and also Monica Witt, which I'm convinced was a double agent because she showed up at this conference in 2013, uninvited, unknown, just showed up. And Kevin Barrett met her, and he said she seemed to be a nice person. But she then disappeared, and there's rumors she's no longer in Iran. So my suspicion is she was a double agent. They used that to create this false terrorist recruitment or spy recruitment or anti-American, anti-Semitism sort of mission behind the conference, which is completely false. And now they've got Treasury sanctions, which essentially may prohibit anyone from going to attend a future conference. So that's an assault and attack, a violation of our constitutional rights as free Americans to go where we choose and travel and speak as we choose. And it's fruit of the poisonous tree. It's all based on lies. Yet Press TV fundamentally changed as a result of this. You and I have been far less put on to comment on this, except I was put on the day of this shooting in New Zealand. And that's what I said. This is a false flag event, and everything scientifically points to that way. I haven't been been on so far since that. But that's a fundamental shift that's happened. But we do not ever bow down or adapt our speech to pleasing men or pleasing our career reputation. We stand for nothing but the truth. And if it takes our life, so be it. But to die nobly is the way that a real man lives, and not cowering under the foot of convenience or enrichment or any of the other subtle lures that the world puts out. So I'm
certain it's related to my explaining how the Mockingbird media provides nothing but propaganda to the American people. They have been played themselves, Scott, that they would not feature you and me, who are two of the great truth speakers they could ever have on the air for these events, is just astonishing to me and acutely disappointing. Michael J.
I'm in agreement with what you and Scott are sharing. My own experience in that I was involved with Scott coming back. The reality is that Scott was a changed man after he got back from Iran, because he had experienced a tremendous revelation, if you will, by meeting the kind of people that are in Iran, the loving spiritual people that were so grateful to hear his sharing in his love for America and freedom, his sharing a hope for solidarity with Iran. The issue is that so many people have been lied to from I'm talking about the Trump administration, with Nikki Haley and Bolton and other people, including Donald Trump, telling lies about Iran. And the reality is that what Scott discovered, because he was involved with Marzia Hashimi on numerous occasions, and I shared going to the studio with him while he was, you know, going through these things and watching her enjoyment about Scott sharing what was really going on concerning Trump versus Hillary Clinton. The reality is that after Marzia was kidnapped, after she was brutalized, after she was not afforded any rights as a quote, person of interest, something happened to her. And my own conviction is that the reality of what the New Horizons Conference represented to the New World Order was so threatening that they took hold of her and sent her back with a message, and also kind of changed her towards the people who started the New Horizons Conference at this level, not the original one, but this past one. There was such a solidarity and a spiritual sharing and fellowship with the Iranian people, with Scott and Michael Maloof and J. Michael Springman and others, that this was, I believe, severely damaging to the narrative that has been under development by the Zionist-controlled media and the administration of Donald Trump.
Jim? I agree. It was a unique international forum to bring intellectuals from all over the world to discuss these issues with no restraints, no holds bars. It was magnificent.
Yes, seek a peaceful narrative and communication with, and these people that are running this Zionist agenda do not want that to happen.
Yes, 100%. And they somehow have played those who run Press TV to exclude partisans of truth like Scott and me.
I think there were threats sent back with Marzia saying, you know, what she was told to say, here's what you need to say to Press TV. I think that happened.
This may well be. There are striking similarities between the Lion Air and the Ethiopian 737 MAX crashes. I'll be very brief with this. As a student of computer science and artificial intelligence, it appears to be the case that Boeing introduced a change to their software that had to do with the autopilot and didn't adequately inform the pilots and the airlines of the necessity of disengaging the autopilot under certain conditions, so that the pilots wound up having a battle with a plane because it was not under their control for the failure to disengage. This is very disturbing.
That's right.
I think everyone actually in the field understands what happened here. Is the Boeing 737 MAX crisis an artificial intelligence event? Here, yep. Tyler Durden, who turns out to be the name for a whole group of researchers who published through Zero Hedge, is making this case. I personally am convinced that is exactly the right case.
Yep.
Pilots are bright people, but they must never be sent a badly configured test item with tight time limits and potentially fatal outcomes. That's happened here. They weren't prepared for this change in the software. It's going to have devastating effects. Boeing's all over the world. I mean, the 737 was the workhorse of the world. This is the most reliable, safest plane they had out there. And now it's all been grounded because of this software glitch, a colossal blunder. It's very, very, as is observed here, in emergencies, people rely on their most validated mental models. But if there's a missing variable, if there's a hidden variable, if there's a software difference of which they were unaware, it could be catastrophic. It appears to have been catastrophic not once, but twice. And how they're going to recover is anybody's guess. Scott.
Well, I think the Ethiopian 737, there's a lot of strange things about that. Remote control hijacking could have been another one.
Right.
There's some, again, these strange occurrences seem to be convenient psychological deterrents and distractions to pull us away from some of the mobilizations that are occurring in the Middle East and Syria and Iran, the Europe fragmentation, the yellow vests fragmenting France, Macron falling apart, and then of course Netanyahu's indictment, Netanyahu's war against Syria, his claiming of the Golan Heights, and that fight and a potential a strike on Iran to try and lure America into that. That would be destructive. That would end President Trump, of course. As Tucker has said as well. And then, of course, we see the New Zealand shooting. And then we see another shooting that just happened today in the Netherlands, where allegedly some Turkish guy has allegedly shot up a bus. All of these things seem to be distractions. And I think this is one of them, Jim.
I think that the Netherlands is a distraction from New Zealand because it turned out to be such a fiasco. Michael J. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jim. I think that... This points to the fact that there's a very real possibility that the planes that were supposedly used by hijackers to hit the World Trade Center were actually taken over by the an autopilot and flown somewhere else. And I think, you know, we've seen other airlines that disappeared, you know, like from the I forget, it was some South Pacific nation, remember, where they couldn't find those planes. I think that they were taken over by this kind of remote control, Jim.
Michael J., that was the original plan. It was not physically possible to get the planes into the trade centers before they exploded. They would have crumpled external. They had to fake it. If you want to check in on that rumble over the rubble on Tuesday, where I and Steve Dack, I'll go through this in spades because I'm going to cover all four of the crash sites. Two of the planes weren't even in the air. The other two were still in the air after they'd allegedly crashed. This is very complicated stuff, but once you put the pieces together, it's undeniable. Here we have now further developments for our consideration. Fed up, House Republicans are releasing the Bruce Orr testimony showing a major conflict of interest. I agree that this Representative Doug Collins of Georgia, ranking member of the House Judiciary, unilaterally released a 268-page transcript of an interview with Bruce Orr. This is also corrupt. Trump ought to have done this right off the bat. It's, to me, a mystery that he did not do that. He had to have been misled about its significance. Here, Orr revealed that former British spy Christopher Steele was simultaneously paid by both the FBI and the Democratic opposition research firm Fusion GPS during the 2016 election. I already reported how in the British court he dumbfounded the judge by explaining he wrote the Russian dossier that was used to justify the FISA court surveillance on the Trump campaign team. Under the employee, he has an employee for Hillary Clinton. It's just outrageous. In addition, Orr testified that Simpson, this is a co-founder of GPS, provided false information to federal officials regarding Seletra Mitchell, a Republican campaign finance attorney who used to work for the NRA. There's a whole lot here. It's very sordid. It's really, frankly, disgusting beyond belief. Nellie Orr was deeply involved in this. She was trying to get a job with Fusion GPS. She was fluent in Russian. She appears to have had a role in all this nonsense, too. It's basically fallen apart, however. This Russian hacking thing is going absolutely nowhere, which is why they're trying to change their tune. Meanwhile, CIA Director Gina Haspel appears to be have been complicit with the original plan to overthrow Trump. That's pretty disturbing.
Right.
She would have to have known about the coup if she wasn't reporting all this to the president. She's complicit in the overthrow attempt and guilty of high treason. I'm very troubled by all this stuff. This guy named Bill Priestap, he's another player, not to mention all the other more familiar names like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and McCabe and Comey and all that. It's truly, truly disgusting what's gone on here. The greatest scandal, greatest political scandal in American history. It even overshadows JFK and 9/11.
Yeah, Trump needs to clean house. I mean, he's got some bad people right really close to him. They got to go. I mean,
it's very troubling, Don. Scott. Yeah.
Well, it's going to, of course, cause a civil war. I mean, how many times do we need to say that in so many different ways? But the one thing that would cause a civil war is the attempt to overthrow and remove the president that people voted for because he represented something that wasn't Hillary Clinton or the establishment Republican effeminate boy band that we've had up on Capitol Hill for 20 years. Donald Trump, and the people around him, you know, people who try and defend him say he gives people rope to hang themselves. Okay, I'd like to believe that, but the optics are very bad. He's got people around him that do not look good, and they do not seem to have good things in their hearts, and they don't seem to be complimenting him. They're pushing him down this neocon agenda. So it even though he's got them on his team, he shouldn't. He should remove these people. He doesn't maybe know that he can go into every government agency and fire and remove and move around every political actor in the agencies. So Trump has absolute power to shuffle the seats of all the federal agencies, even the bureaucrats, and say, no, you're no longer doing this. I want you over here. I'm putting this person there. I'm putting this person there. Or this person is going to oversee you. I want you reporting to him. on a daily basis. You can get people with clearances in there, but that's how you take control of the bureaucracy, is you put your own political appointees in there to shadow the bureaucrats, replace the bureaucrats, move the bureaucrats, and you use the inspector general to expose waste, fraud, and abuse. Then you hand it to the attorney general bar to prosecute waste, fraud, and abuse criminally, simultaneously with the inspector general suspending the clearances and suspending them without pay from their actual duties. Trump needs to go in and root out, like fleas buried in a dog. He needs to go in and root these people out and flood them out, or else he is going to find himself in a very life-threatening situation, because they seem adamant on removing him. And the whole Russia thing falling apart is, of course, 2 years of abusing the American public, and it should warrant outrage.
Michael J.
Thank you. I agree with Scott. What we're looking at, though, is that the Donald Trump that used his rallies to galvanize the American people into electing him with what we know now was a clear margin of victory. He won the popular vote also because there were so many exposés of vote tampering and dead Democrats voting and other kinds of things, including the insanity of the Jerry Brown administration of communism and La Raza fraud out here. But the reality is Donald Trump is in the position to use the bully pulpit. He's in the position to actually make a difference today that has to do with calling all these people out. He doesn't need to be tiptoeing through the tulips here. Every one of these people could have been put on the spot, made persons of interest, arrested, and the American people, if Trump explained what was going on, because a lot of us already know, if Trump explained what was going on, there could have been any number of documents declassified, brought out into the open, and he could have taken care of business. And the reality that I have to deal with is that I'm looking at Donald Trump and realizing he's surrounded by admirals and generals and the NSA having all the information they need to convict these people of treason, including all the people involved in 9/11, all the people involved in financing the terrorists in Syria and Libya, all the people involved in overthrowing the elected government in the Ukraine. He could have stopped the theater and started representing the real America that wanted a real honest man in there that wasn't some kind of shill for Zionism and the Vatican. The reality is, I hope that this isn't the case. I hope he actually has some real manhood instead of him being a puppet for this theater, this puppet theater that's actually keeping America distracted while the larger operations for disarming the rest of the world and setting us up with 5G technology that can be very damaging, that can cause all sorts of terrible problems. That this is not something that Trump is accommodating because he's listening to somebody other than the real American people. Jim?
Well said, Michael J. Mm-hmm. Here we have exclusive. Donald Trump accuses tech giants of colluding with the Democrats. About time he got around to it. He's accused Facebook, Twitter, Google of colluding with Democrats to censor his supporters online to their political advantage. You might think he actually saw one of our shows. Actually, it's incredible I won the election because, you know, it was so rigged against me. It wasn't Russians. Russian collusion was a delusion. But what there is there was collusion between the Democrats and the tech companies. He's got it exactly right. The president said any Republican running in 2020 would face a tremendous disadvantage in social media after he surprised tech companies by beating Hillary in the 2016. It's totally steered, which has been proven now, it's totally steered toward the Democrats, and yet I won. 100% right. He sympathized with critics of the big tech companies like Facebook, Google, and Twitter who want to regulate the companies. I understand a lot of people want to look into it. I'd like to say, let it be free, let it all be free, but it's not free. It's really run by a small number of people. He also referred to reports from Breitbart exposing tech bias against conservatives in companies like Twitter, Facebook, and Google. It's very, very good. This is getting attention from the president. Meanwhile, Facebook committed a blunder. They banned Zero Hedge, saying it accidentally labeled its content as spam. Not a chance. This was accidental. After backlash online, Facebook said it accidentally labeled stories by popular anti-establishment blog Zero Hedge as spam. Its readers had complained they began experiencing problems while sharing blog contents. This was a mistake with our automation to detect spam, and we worked to fix it yesterday, Facebook said. The incident added fuel to longstanding allegation that Mark Zuckerberg's company harbors a bias against conservatives and anti-establishment voices. Funny how the technical errors never happen to a liberal. Funny how it's only the right that's affected by technical errors and various other mistakes. Diamond and Silk, mistake. Conservatives being targeted, mistake. How many mistakes have they made? Sounds like a good story, but crickets from mainstream media. Zero Hedge confirmed Wednesday the bewildering ban was reversed and things went back to normal. Blog authors noted they didn't know which stories had been branded as spam. Social network still hasn't contacted them. According to the publication, its readers first noticed the problem over the weekend. Many complained Facebook was blocking their attempts to share stories published by Zero Hedge. Some posted screenshots showing the company deemed the stories to be in violation of its community standards, all purpose. If they don't like it, it violates their standards. While others reported Facebook had flagged Zero Hedge content as abusive. The situation sparked accusations of censorship and drew criticism of Facebook, including Nigel Farage, who's a former UK Independent Party leader. This is a total disgrace. Donald Trump Jr., the censorship continues. How does Zero Hedge's content not meet community standards? Facebook doesn't agree with them, and that's why they hit the platform. Absolutely 100% correct. Scott.
Well, Facebook just took down my post analyzing the New Zealand shooter by the forensic point by point by point. So I'm going to file a legal action against them. And I would encourage, you know, people, if they have a desire, everyone has a right to contact Facebook. The address is One Hacker Way, Menlo Park, California, 94025. And they can file a legal action against Facebook for violation of constitutional rights, as well as conspiracy to commit a crime. By aiding and abetting this crime, Facebook becomes a party after the fact, however the legalese is formulated. But I would encourage people to really start standing up and filing legal threats and actions, because it's their constitutional rights that are being abused by these organizations. So I would say Facebook, One Hacker Way, Menlo Park, California, 94025. Jim?
Michael J.
Thank you. I want to talk about for a minute, going back to false flags and how coincidentally it involves friendly fire, in that the greatest false flag was also the greatest friendly fire that we had, that is on 9/11. And the kind of friendly fire I'm talking about was the intentional murder of those people in the Pentagon and in the World Trade Center, just like the friendly fire that took out Pat Tillman when he discovered why the American military was over in Afghanistan protecting the opium fields and not really taking out terrorists. He was put to death by people in our military. So the reality is that the kind of friendly fire, false flag mindset is something that people need to understand. Just like this issue of the control of our media, because we know that LifeLog became Facebook because it was and is a CIA information vacuuming operation, the kind that would have sent Hitler and other people in, surveillance societies like the KGB and the secret police in Nazi times, it would have probably just sent them over the edge to have the kind of information that links everybody to everybody else and lets everybody know what everybody else is about. And the reality is each one of the people on the internet, including us, because we actually work at it, have a very developed profile that is being monitored and controlled, by the way, by the Israelis, by the Israeli Secret Service. They are deeply involved with the CIA monitoring of Americans. And I believe they're using a lot of propaganda and corruption techniques to control our Senate and our Congress and prevent the American people from boycotting as well as other nations because they get to listen in on everything. So I'm not paranoid. I'm just telling the truth because I know what kind of sociopaths are running that apartheid, genocidal, anti-humanity state that fakes itself, being the people of God when actually they are the children of hell. Jim?
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they aren't out to get you.
Amen, brother.
I'll sketch a few of the rest stories. We won't have time to discuss them. A shocking shakeup of the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has become an instrument of Israeli influence. Morris Deese was just ousted. That's a fascinating development. Maybe related to the slow transformation of a group in its early years was a clear force for good, fighting for voting rights and against the KKK. It's no longer that. We have a former Obama official ordered by a judge to answer Judicial Watch questions. I support Judicial Watch 100%, one of the few organizations doing any good for the American people. Judicial Watch is doing the heavy lifting on the ongoing Clinton email scandal, even as Congress dropped the ball and DOJ and state continue to obstruct our quest for truth, said Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton. This is all good stuff. They have a major discovery schedule. They're going forward with it. This should have been done years and years and years ago, at the very time when Comey was saying, having not reviewed any of the email, that she had a clean bill of health, which was absurd. Here, our final story. Tucker might not survive at Fox. Why? Well, because they've got him saying some things that were kind of silly in a radio interview way back when. Frankly, I think this is basically contrived against Tucker. Here's a nice story about it. The miserable squalid campaign to stifle Tucker Carlson. Fox News host's only real crime is daring to be provocative in a dull media world. This is a highly instructive. Tucker Carlson Tonight is the best show on American news television. It is not, as his tedious enemies insist, Trump propaganda, quite the opposite. It's a rare bright spot of originality in an otherwise arid media landscape. Every night, almost without fail, Carlson introduces his 3.2 million viewers to an interesting thought or a different way of looking at the world. TV news is repetitive, that's its nature, but Carlson's show manages to cover the talking points in a different key. He also introduces new opinions and ideas into the media bloodstream. It's really good. In fact, this is a nice summary. That's the thing. It's Carlson's very open-mindedness that most anger his enemies. His real crime isn't he has said something dumb in the past or that he's lost his temper or even that he's too right-wing to be acceptable to mainstream media. It is that he dares to be provocative in a media world that is suffocatingly dull. And that, for many, is unforgivable. I merely emphasize as a final point, the Democrats are opposing the wall. They're doing all kinds of other efforts because they want to bring in more voters. This is why they oppose asking if you're a U.S. citizen on the U.S. Census. Completely absurd. Don, I take it we've reached that point of no return. I turn it over to you.
Yes, it is a point of no return. We're all done for March 18th here at Sweets vs. Zeus. Thank you so much for watching. And I will say, not only Tucker, but now Judge Jeanine got attacked. She was off the air this last week. This is a paper of, oops, that's not the right one. This is a paper for Scott.
I understand Judge Jeanine was attacking Omar wrongly, right. Saying she's for Sharia law. Omar is a great hero like Cynthia McKinney. Omar initiated public discussion of Israel's influence on our Congress. For that, she will eternally deserve our gratitude and support.
Yes, and thanks again for watching, folks. This is a great show. Share it wildly, because it's very important. This is the best you can get. Thank you so much. Adios.